Why don't my friends get it? Why don't my family members get it? Why don't the people that I love, why can't they get it? Well, they can't get it unless their understanding is opened up.
That's just ahead on this episode of Guerrilla Christianity.
Please remain standing for the reading of the Gospel. Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, beginning at verse 36, halfway into verse 36. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, this is the third of the appearances of Jesus in the book of Luke, chapter 24. After Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he appeared three times, and this is the third of those appearances. What's interesting about Luke's account is that first, Jesus appears to just one person. He appears to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. She runs back. She tells the disciples. And then Peter goes and runs and looks into the tomb and sees that it is empty. And then he goes away, wondering. Next, Jesus appears to two travelers on the road to Emmaus, two of his disciples, one of whom his name was Clopas. And as they were talking, he sort of came alongside of them, was walking along with them, said, "What are you guys talking about?" And they said, "Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Do you not know what has happened? Did you not know that our master, our teacher, has been brutally crucified? And now today is the third day after this has all happened. And wonder upon wonders, the women came and told us that he has risen. He has risen from the dead." And then Jesus said to them, "How foolish and slow of heart are you to not understand what the scriptures have said concerning the Christ?" And then he opened their minds to the scriptures. He began to expound to them, tell them what the scriptures had to say about him, all the prophecies that were concerning him. Well, they were going to go on, or he was going to go on, and they had arrived at their destination. They said, "No, it's evening. Come and eat supper with us." And as he sat down, he blessed and broke the bread. And in that, he was revealed. They recognized him for who he was, and in that moment, he disappeared from their sight. It's a remarkable story. But then we come to the story that we read today. And this is it's a mirror account, really, of what happened in the reading from last week from the book of John, chapter 20, that Jesus, the two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus, they get up immediately, they run back to the disciples, and they, like Mary, like the other women, started to tell them that Jesus has risen. They had seen him, and while they were talking about this, we read, Jesus himself stood among them. Jesus himself stood among them. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." It's a comforting thought. He says, "Peace be with you. You know, don't be afraid. It's okay." And they were startled and terrified. They thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." I explained last week that when doubts arise in us, God provides the evidence that we need to believe. We read in the book of Ephesians that it is by grace that we are saved. Through faith. Faith is belief. But faith is not from ourselves. It is a gift of God. Something that God gives to us. We read in the book of Galatians that it is one of the fruits of the Spirit, faithfulness. That God provides these things. Once we are in the Spirit, once we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, we receive the ability to see things as God sees them, and to be able to believe things that the world can't believe. Have you ever thought to yourself, "I get this. I totally get this. I believe this. This is the Word of God. Why don't my friends get it? Why don't my family members get it? Why don't the people that I love, why can't they get it?" Well, the world just don't get it. They don't get it. And they can't. They can't get it unless their understanding is opened up. God provides the evidence that we need, but only if we seek it. He's not going to shove it right in our face and say, "Here, look, look, look at it, look." He waits. When doubts begin to arise, these are people who have been following Jesus for 3.5 years. They see him, and I mean, can you imagine if someone that you saw die all of a sudden appeared to you in the flesh 3 days later? You'd be like, I would. It's not something that happens every day. And so Jesus says, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Well, it's not so much of a question as it is a statement. I mean, it's pretty obvious why. But he says, he puts their minds at rest. "Look at my hands, look at my feet, see that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And then he says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Much like he did for Thomas, who was not at this particular appearance, we read in the book of John. He missed it. But he showed up again a week later, and he gave him the same evidence that he gave to the other disciples, because that's exactly what he needed as well. Then it says, while in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. I mean, if your beloved teacher all of a sudden shows up again after having been dead for 3 days, it's such a mixture of emotions. Fear, wonder, excitement, joy, curiosity. What in the heck is going on here, you know? So while in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" That's a great question. And we as Methodists have been honoring that question for 200 years, you know. Anything to eat? Oh, we've got something to eat. Believe me, we got something to eat, you know. We love to feed people. And that's what Jesus was asking. Can you feed me? He said, I've been feeding you for 3.5 years. Have you anything here to feed me? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Other translations also add that he had a piece of honeycomb as well. But he took it and he ate it in their presence, again showing them that he's not a ghost. Ghosts don't eat. And then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So as I was putting this message together, I was thinking about what it means to be a witness. Okay? And what do we see here? Number one, a witness sees something. That's why they're called a witness. A witness sees something. Back in December, we had an accident in the lot at Amazon. And I happened to see it. I was right there when it happened. Now, it wasn't a bad accident. Nobody got hurt, but a truck was damaged very badly, and also a trailer was damaged very badly. Because I saw it, I had to give an account as to what I saw, because I saw it. And I could remember seeing what I saw. They asked me what I saw, and I had to write it down and make a statement and all this other stuff. So, number one, a witness sees something. A witness sees something. Jesus shows them his hands and his feet. He sits down and he eats in front of them. They see all this. And then he says, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. It's interesting that he says the Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And I was thinking about this as I was putting the message together too, that where is it that it says all this stuff about Jesus, right? Moses is the Pentateuch, okay? The first 5 books of the Bible written by Moses. Well, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God tells Eve, you know, I will put enmity between you and the serpent, between your offspring and his offspring. He will strike at his heel, but he will crush his head. So in other words, he was saying that the offspring of Eve would ultimately win over the serpent. And that's exactly what Jesus did. From the very first day of the very first sin committed by humankind, God already had a plan for their redemption. And that plan included sending his own son to die for the sins of the world. Then it said, the prophets, well, all throughout the prophets, through Isaiah. Isaiah had many prophecies about Christ. He said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Right? He said, for unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then speaking of the crucifixion, Isaiah also wrote in chapter 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that gave us peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have each gone to his own way. And the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all upon him. So the prophets spoke about Jesus many, many, many times. And finally in the Psalms, what can you say about Psalm 22? Jesus began, as he was hanging on the cross, he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I always used to wonder, why in the world would Jesus, the Son of God, say that of his own Father? But he was quoting from Psalm 22. Psalm 22, which is almost, it's almost like an eyewitness account of the crucifixion. It's really quite amazing when you look at it. Psalm 22. He says, this is David wrote this psalm, and it comes, it falls right before, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We all know that one. But this is Psalm 22. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the word of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. He says, many bulls encircle me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Dogs are all around me. A company of evildoers encircles me. My hands and feet have shriveled. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothing among themselves. And for my clothing, they cast lots. It's incredible when you read Psalm 22 that you think, geez, David somehow was inspired by the Holy Spirit to record what happened at the crucifixion like 900 years before it happened. So all that the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then it says, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Here's the second thing about a witness. A witness sees, and a witness has knowledge that others do not. A witness has knowledge that others do not. If everybody understood what a witness knows, they wouldn't call him or her a witness. Okay? If everybody had common knowledge of some event that happened, you wouldn't call a witness to the witness stand to corroborate someone's story. But the witness knows something that others don't. Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He did this also to the two who were walking on the road to Emmaus. He said, it says, then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in the scriptures. And later, after they realized who it was, they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? The Holy Spirit inspires us so that we can know something that the world doesn't know. You see, the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. And what we know as Christians is foolishness to the world. It's a stumbling block. The gospel is a stumbling block. That's why sometimes it seems so hard. It's like, I get it. I get it. Why doesn't so-and-so get it? You know? I'm explaining it as best I can, and yet they're still sitting there going, nope. Nope, 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 nope. I had a conversation this week with a young man who was talking about this particular piece of scripture where it says, thus it is written, he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. He said to me, well, obviously Jesus doesn't know the scriptures very well. Because nowhere in the Hebrew Bible does it say that. I said, really? Let me see. Hosea, Hosea. Because, you know, minor prophets sometimes get swept under the carpet. But Hosea chapter 6, what's it say there? Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. Come, let us return to the Lord, for it is he who has torn and he will heal us. He has struck down and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. Peter pointed to that prophecy in one of his letters. And I have to believe that because the scriptures are inspired by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to point to that particular piece of scripture and say that that was talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus also went and he told the Pharisees, you know, they said, well, show us a sign. Show us a sign. He said, a faithless and perverse generation asks for a sign, but no sign shall be given except the sign of Jonah. And everybody's like, what are you talking about, Jonah? He says, for just as Jonah lay in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man shall lay in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights and be raised. Jesus talked about that even before. The book of Jonah is a prophecy looking forward to the death and resurrection of Christ. Because we, in our sin, sent Jesus to the cross. He died for our sins, and then he was raised again. Jonah was swallowed by a fish for his own sins. But Jesus didn't have any sin. Because God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we could be the righteousness of God in him. So thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So a witness sees, a witness has knowledge, others don't. And finally, a witness testifies, because Jesus says, you are witnesses of these things. Now, he wasn't just telling them that they saw things. He wasn't just telling them that they understood things that people don't. But being witnesses, now they have to go and testify. And we saw that in the book of Acts that we read today. Acts chapter 3, Peter said, we are witnesses. We are witnesses. In the book of 1 John, and we have been reading 1 John for a couple of weeks now. In the book of 1 John, John opens up by saying, these things that we have seen, that we have touched, that we have felt, we now testify to you. Here it is. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. In other words, we're telling you what we have seen. We're not telling you what somebody else saw. We're not telling you what a friend of a friend of a friend saw. We're telling you what we saw. We saw it. We are the witnesses. And this book, the New Testament, is full of eyewitness accounts. And yet the world is so ready to just discard it. Why? Because it stands in opposition of everything that the world tells us is good, is okay, is right. In this postmodern world, we're told that there is no absolute truth. Well, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave his life for us, sat at the table with his disciples and said, I am the truth. I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. We shouldn't be amazed, or we shouldn't be astounded that there is only one way. And we shouldn't balk that there is only one way. But we should be amazed that there's a way at all. If there were a deep chasm, a mile deep and a mile wide, that you could only get across by one bridge, there was only one bridge going across that chasm, and there was somebody standing there with a sign that says, this is the only bridge that goes across this chasm, would people be sitting there going, What a jerk. What a jerk. Why would he say that's the only way? I'm going my own way. I'll show him. But that's what the world does to us Christians who say there is only one way. Jesus Christ is the only way. Because God sent his Son to die for the sins of the world. And if we say there's another way, then what did God send his Son for? If there is any other way that we can possibly achieve salvation, then God sent his Son to die for nothing. And yet those same people who deny that Christ is the only way also say that a loving God, would not cause his people to go down to hell. Which may be true, but God is not just love. He's also holy. He is just. He is merciful. He is gracious. But he is holy. First and foremost, of all the things that describe God, the one attribute that the angels repeat over and over again is holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. The one thing I want you to take away from this whole thing, though, is this. It starts with just one person. It starts with just one person. It started with Mary at the tomb. Jesus met with Mary, just Mary, and she went and told the disciples. Then he met with two people. He met with Clopas and his companion. And they went and told the disciples. And finally, Jesus showed up to all the disciples. Now, the disciples didn't quite get it until Jesus showed up. But first they were told. As witnesses, we have to go and tell people. And then when Jesus shows up, they're ready for it. They might not accept it at first. They might have doubts. They might be like, nah, I don't get it. I don't believe you. I think you're making it up, you know. But when Jesus shows up, their hearts will be primed and ready. So it's our responsibility as Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ, to witness to these things. Jesus said to his disciples, you are witnesses of these things. And he says those things to us today. We are witnesses. Because we're not just sitting here every Sunday for our health. We come here because we've seen something. We come here because Jesus Christ has touched us in some way. We come here because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who takes away the sins of the world, who went to the cross for my sins and yours. What great love the Father has for us. And so, we are witnesses. And my prayer for us today is that it might just begin with one. We can go from this place and just tell somebody, we have seen the Christ. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we are witnesses. Sometimes testifying to the truth is not an easy thing, especially in this world that is so ready to reject your truth. But fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and make us willing to go forth and tell others what we have seen, what we know. Not in an angry or spiteful way, but out of love. Because we have to imagine, Lord, the people that we're talking to, that the words that we give to them might be the words of life. You speak the truth through us, and we speak the truth in love. And we know, Lord, that you love us. We know that you have redeemed us as your own. We are no longer our own, but we belong to you. We are your creation, made in your image. And though we have fallen short, and though we have turned away from you, we have repented of our sin, Lord, and we have accepted Jesus Christ as the atonement for our sin. And so, Lord, we turn our loving eyes to you. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be upon us as we go from this place so that we can declare to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All this we pray in his mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity. We sincerely hope that this teaching today has blessed you. Now, we are happy that you choose to listen to our podcast, but you know that this cannot be all there is to your walk with Christ. So we hope also that you are active in a local church to worship with a body of believers. And hopefully that church believes in the Bible, preaches the gospel, and loves Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you are not attending a local church and you live in the Salem County area, you are invited to join us on Sunday mornings. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn worships at 9 a.m. and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pettertown worships at 10:30. Now, we also hope that you are regularly studying God's Word, and maybe you can join a local Bible study as well. We have Bible studies on Wednesday and Thursday nights, and this month we are starting a new study based on the book Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. All are welcome and encouraged to attend. And finally, we hope that you are not just attending, but also serving in your local congregation. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came not to be served, but to serve and to lay down his life and atonement for our sins. So we are invited to follow his example and to serve in whatever way God has called us to serve. Join us again next time for Guerrilla Christianity as we continue to open God's Word and apply it in our lives today. Until next time, God bless you and keep you. Amen.